We are live. Welcome back, everybody. I've got my main man here, Mr. Ben Fanning, looking cool. Just been taking a piss out of my jumper.
You see, though, how can a man be so secure in wearing a jumper like that, thinking I'm having a jab?
A jab.
At his Technicolor Dreamcoat jumper.
Technicolor Dreamcoat. What do you like about it? Yeah, I love it.
What I like about that jumper is how you actually make it look wearable.
Wearable.
It's fucking three times too big.
Do you know what we should do one day? Bring your clothes, right? I'll wear your clothes, you wear mine.
We was at the last mastermind, right? I was like, look, mate, we need to get you on these big stages. We'll tidy you up a bit.
That was the best thing I did for it. You know, I can't wait for next year, Simon. You know, you're going to get on them stages, you're speaking, great. We just need to tidy you up a little bit.
Yeah, you can't be coming on stage with that jump. Or maybe that...
Maybe I can.
Who knows? Maybe you can. Maybe that's how you'd be remembered.
I might take a guitar.
Because it's funny enough, every time I go some places, you always get a lot of people saying, I love that jumper.
Yeah, people generally say, I like your jumper, I like your hat, I like your top, whatever I'm wearing.
Yeah, I don't get none of that shit.
You do, well, you know, you're too cool for school, aren't you?
Maybe.
You know, as I'm... My friend described me as eccentric. I was like, eccentric?
Because the fucking charity shop was going broke, mate, and just... thought, let me buy this jumper here. I've got a guy for this. I know some place to get you some cool ass jumpers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go up there. Manchester.
I'm going to get you some.
Get me some. Animal print. So anyway, before this episode kicked off, we were walking across to the Doncaster's most famous eatery. Greg's.
Got myself a festive bake.
Festive bake. I had some Christmas cake, which I wasn't sharing. And, a chicken and pasta honey mustard pot.
What was that saying?
A pasta pot that was chicken and honey and mustard. Nice. Reminds me of when I used to work at a supermarket when I was younger. Every lunch break I'd have their chicken and mustard pasta pot.
Nice.
In the evening. Beautiful. Sometimes a hoisin duck.
Yeah, I love hoisin duck.
Wrap.
Yeah, I love
spend all my wages that day on my lunch. Like.
Yeah. You know Most people do when you work in them superstores, isn't it?
Yeah,
50% of the wage goes straight back in.
Yeah, true. But anyway, we were talking. I said, you know what? We're talking about heart coherence, loads of different stuff, trauma. I was like, you know what? We should probably share what are some of the principles that have changed our lives or made an impact on our lives? I reckon there's different ones, right? But one thing I think we're both on is like the coherence, the heart coherence, stuff like that. Would you say? I mean, principle that's changed yours or impacted your health?
Impacting my health.
What would you say is something you go, you know what?
I think I spoke in another episode, that old copper giving me the chisels and said, carve away.
Yeah.
Carve a life.
But I'm thinking less like, a philosophical principle, maybe more like something you've picked up. Like we were talking about the heart and how the coherence of the heart affects everything. Is there been something like gut health? You talk about a lot of different things to me. Yeah. Gut health, breathing. I don't know. What's been something
weird? There was a guy called Nigel Plummer, right? He's an extended friend of mine through Phil. And when he said there's 100,000 billion microbiome living on you and in you, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, mate, basically you're a walking planet. And right now, like this shit microbiome flying everywhere. And actually, we talk about, when you think about that, how many people on the planet? 8 billion, is it?
Don't know.
Fucking real people, though, not these fake ass motherfuckers.
Better fact check that.
Yeah, fact check that. It's not 8 billion. No, but 100 billion. And when you start seeing that shit under a microscope and you see these little organisms interacting with each other and floating about and you think that shit's in you, one, that freaks you out.
Yeah.
Secondly, you think, a bit naive just to think with this, just this matter and this, you know.
Yeah. All right, Yoda.
You know, well, we're getting deep here.
8 billion.
8 billion.
You're like Yoda.
100,000 billion microbiome.
We are not these cruel matter.
Mate, you start picking up your immune system coming through the vaginal canal. There's extensive research on this. Like, you get a cesarean baby and they come out, obviously, not the right route, right? Mm. They are supposed to, because you, the microbiome ends up in, all that shit ends up in the mouth, right? That's where the immune system starts, microbiome. You're only as healthy as your gut, as they say,
yep.
And I started understanding that and you think, obviously, it's a fucking complex issue, isn't it? You think, like, my sense of self just expanded, like, wait a minute, that shit's living on me and in me. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're a walking planet, right?
Yeah.
You are a planet. And the environment of that planet is important. You got a shitty, you know, inner city. Manchester's using that one. Not up in Malvern, it's a nice bit of area. You want your place looking like Malvern, not fucking Manchester. Malvern. You know what I mean? Some smoky motherfucker. But, you know, your healthier environment, your healthier gut is the healthiest microbiome. You start messing around with that, mate. That's the source of most disease. You know what I mean?
No.
So that was a real eye-opener because he was sick, you know, when he was actually... And you interact with it all the time in nature, in people, you know, shit's always swapping. And that fascinated me.
I had Paul Benson come down to see me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, client I work with, and he's a plant physiologist, really, I think is what he said, almost like a chemist in a sense. And he was talking about plants and the roots and how they're interacting with everything and the environment. And I was like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But that is us, isn't it? We would be naive to think that we are just traveling through our day. We're interacting with things on levels that we're so unaware of.
100%.
Yeah.
And not even on top. Everything is energy, right? Everything is connected.
Have you seen
that thing about, that's why I say the further we move from Mother Nature, the sicker we're becoming. Did you see that geezer do the, I don't know what he was doing. He had something stuck in the ground, like tracking the electric, some type of device.
Like ions or something.
Yeah, something like that. So it's in the ground, right? He's obviously got his shoes on, takes his shoe off. He's like, look, I'm just putting it into me now. There's the connection. Goes up a couple of volts or whatever. That's how you measure that stuff. Mate, the geezer puts his feet on the ground. It's why ground is important. We're supposed to be walking around barefoot, fucking rubber soles. Mm. So there's a deeper connection there, isn't there? Like, you know, and we love the luxury of life and all this shit that we've got, you know, at hand at the minute, but where's the line where you go, actually, that's fucking us over, mate?
Well, it's like overly heated houses and that's not good for you.
Big time. You know, one of the most toxic places is?
In your house?
In your house.
Yeah. I could see that. You know, we were also talking about 75 hard, weren't we?
Yeah.
And that 75 days of getting those consistent habits ticked off. What is the habits of 75 hard?
Oh man, off the top of my head, it was...
Mark might know.
Drink about 4 litres of water.
Maybe I should Google it.
It's to train twice a day, one 45-minute session, one indoor, outdoor, to read
10 pages a day.
To like, you know, not zero shit, no alcohol, just sort of like one ingredient food, I think.
Well, I think his is stick to any diet that you choose.
Oh, and the other one's no alcohol.
See, here's a question I think it'd be real cool. I've been thinking about this. If you had to do a Ben Hard.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
A Ben Hard. A progress photo.
Yeah.
Every day. For 75 days. And his aim, actually, I read about it, he was saying, it's not really our thing, it's to build discipline and mental toughness and grit.
It's not really an our thing. No.
So if you had to put some habits together, what would, his is to build mental toughness and all these sort of things. What would you have as an aim in mind? What would you want to build in your 75, in your Ben Hard? What would you want to build?
You know, mate, put you on the spot. Well, it's so big, you know, the reason... Why that's appealing to me is to build that mental toughness and resilience.
So you'd
right?
pick something for mental toughness?
It's got to be for that.
So how many habits were there in his 75 hard? 5. What 5 would he go for?
Yeah, well, I'd flip the script a little bit. Well, it'd have to be 100%. It'd have to be clean eating.
So you'd have some form of hey, let's, for 75 days, I'm going to stick to a diet of some form.
Yeah.
And it would be clean.
Single,
what's your definition of clean?
Well, just single ingredient food, quality food, real food,
Cool.
100% hydration has to be. Yeah?
Yeah, how many litres?
If it wanted to be hard, it'd have to be 4 litres.
Yeah, I like, Huberman did a thing on hydration. I think he put 2 litres for my weight before 2 p.m.
Yeah, well, that's what it would be. When I try and hit 4 litres a day, and it's a litre like every 2 to 3 hours straight through the day. So you like, we've probably done a litre within the first
10 hours of your day, you've got to drink 4 litres.
No. That's what I do. I've got them big jugs like you, the 2 litres. That'll last me at lunchtime. And then again, you don't.
So you've got hydration, some form of clean eating. So keep it away from processed shit, basically.
100%. I would put in a fasting protocol in there.
So you'd fab one is you have to fast
You have to fast. Well, it'd just be an 8-hour window. I love the intermittent fasting.
So you'd say 16-hour fast, 8-hour eat.
100%.
Cool.
You would definitely meditate.
Nice. Why?
Because obviously, well, multiple reasons. One, aid recovery. Yeah. Two, that's going to massively impact your ability to be consistent through these challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously training, you know, the variables that come with the meditation. I think the inconvenience that comes with meditation for me is sometimes one of the most battling, because it's not an instant reward.
And you can build a lot of mental resilience by just the art of fucking sitting down to do it.
So you've got the physical stuff, right? We're looking at the three physical things here. We've got to be hydrating. We've got to have a fasting. And we've got to be, you know,
clean eating.
And
then you've got meditation. You've got one left. You haven't put training yet.
I've not said training yet.
No.
Oh, what did I say? I did. What did I say?
No, you never. You said hydration.
Yeah. Oh, clean eating. Yeah, exactly. And fasting. The fifth one will be training. Got to be training. And instead of...
Meditation.
Instead
and training.
Of, yeah, instead of like splitting a training. No, it would be a split training. I was going to say the hour and a half training. I'm loving that in a minute, but you need 40. You couldn't do that for 75 days.
See, you've got to pick something you can hammer for 75 days. Yeah.
So it would be, the split. And I think what I would probably do just to make it a little bit tougher is that you have to train outdoors.
Nice. There you're five.
Yeah.
So that's Ben Hard, New Year.
Oh, fuck it. Let's go.
Ben Hard in the new year.
Let's go, baby.
Simon Hard.
Come on. And you can't pull play the fucking piano every day.
Wow, I can. But I would have a different aim for me at the minute, because I'm like, where am I at the minute? So mine would be optimization of my health, probably.
What's that look like?
Well, we'll get to that. I think just look, I'd say somewhat physical, mental and emotional. I'd be trying to get into good physical, mental.
All right, now we know you why. What's going to be five hours? Well,
hang on a minute. Let me have my moment.
Go on then.
I would do the two sessions a day that he's got in there. I would do a morning, because I think you're going to tick off light. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, big time.
So outside, and it would be cardio based, to be honest, but 20 minutes, nothing like extreme. It'd be like, I'm taking the dog and I'm doing a bit of, remember fartlek? Fartlek, walk, run, stop, walk, jog.
Oh yeah.
That kind of thing. It'd be that. I'd be like, I'm gonna walk a bit, run a bit, sprint a bit, walk a bit, run a bit with the dog for 20 minutes. Maybe throw some stretches on the end. I'd have a phone blackout. In fact, I'd have things that made that easy. So I'd have a phone blackout, as in like a bedtime alarm that goes off at 10, and I don't pick it back up until I've taken care of my morning workout. Phone blackout, 20-minute morning cardio. I'd have some kind of weights every day. I know that people say you need recovery, but I wouldn't be smashing it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd do something, but probably half hour. Hydration, undoubtedly, because you feel better. I feel better when I hydrate. Everyone does, don't they? Like, when you hydrate, you just feel good.
It is one of the most underrated habits.
Yeah. Like, just drinking that today, it's not a great deal. I've had a bottle of coconut water and some stuff.
That's
I've probably had about 3 litres of water.
Yeah.
And I feel better for that than just coffee or tea. Do you know what I mean? Just trying to get through sessions or whatever it may be. So I'd have two sessions, hydration. I'd have a blackout. And the thing is, I'm already meditating every day, but it's hard. I think I'd probably flow in. Yeah, maybe sleep. I'd probably throw in I'd have to get out of bed at the same time every day.
So some sleep hygiene stuff.
So it'd be like, I get up at 7 a.m. every day. And I'd probably give myself a window. I get up between 7 and 7:15 a.m. every day. Because I know that'll make me sleep better. I know that'll make me train. Do you know what I mean? Because I'll be up. I'd probably have a consistent wake-up time, yeah. And my progress photo, if you had to do a progress photo, it wouldn't be that. It would be my HRV.
Mm.
You know, on the Oura Ring?
Yeah.
I wouldn't take a picture of my body. I'd track my HRV for the whole 75 days.
Yeah.
I might do that in a new year.
That's pretty cool, the HRV thing.
Okay, because I think if you're looking at a metric of health... Well, there's no better metric for your nervous system than HRV, is there?
Yeah, no.
And if that's trending up, I know I'm doing a good thing.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're doing 75 psi and your heart rate variability starts trending, dang, dang, dang. Basically, it's saying your nervous system's not coping with this.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be doing that, do I?
No.
You know, I'm not going to war. I'm just trying to live a healthy life. So I'd probably say that. Oh, yeah, I would. I'd say get up at the same time every day, 15-minute window. I'd say phone blackout, because I know that's the biggest... mental drain that I can take on times. I'd say hydrate. I'd say 2 liters by 12 or something like that, something simple, or 4 liters by 2 or whatever it may be. I'd say 2 workouts for me. That's my Cy Hard.
Sounds like fucking Cy easy to me.
What are some of the simple things? For if you want to perform well or feel good mentally or anything, movement is crucial. That's why I hate it when people like fucking annihilate the 10,000 step rule. Oh, 10,000 steps is not that magic number. But what it does is it gets people moving.
Mm.
And movement correlates to calmer states of mind. Mm-hmm. There's so many benefits to your brain. You think clearer.
Yeah.
Brain benefits are huge, not just physical. So I definitely have light movement. It's all in there. Hydration. I think it's all ticked, isn't it? If I had to pick 5, meditation is a big thing for me. But from a selfish point of view, I know I'm going to meditate anyway.
Mm, I see your point.
But if I had to pick it for a randomer...
Yeah, it'd have to be in there.
I'd probably chuck that in instead of the second workout.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think it has to be in there because obviously you can't just physically improve the mind by just be doing physical shit.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
But then you think, what about journaling? Oh, journaling don't make the cut now.
I know, but the thing is, journaling, it can just be such a broad topic. You'd have to be specific on what you're journaling. Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, meditation, you have to teach them or just say to do something guided.
You could have like
but
a
seven, I think you, whatever
it
depends gonna,
the aim of the thing, doesn't it?
Well, it's to be the consistent with the, imagine if someone just said, hey, think about, you know, if you listen to the podcast now, like what would your challenge be?
Yeah.
Because the things that you're pointing out are probably, you know, the things that you need to do. And if you can be consistent with them over 75 days, the needle is going to move.
And setting your own up, I think, is, I looked at this, it's really just hard and fast rules. It's yes or no, very clear.
Yeah.
I didn't even put diet in there.
Yeah.
And that's what I would put in there, actually. I missed that out. I'd put...
Do you want 6 or 7?
I want 5, I have to take one out. I'll take out the phone blackout.
Yeah.
Because I think I'll probably do that if I have a phone alarm. Take out the phone blackout, stick in eating. Clean. I mean, fucking Christmas cake won't cut it.
Yeah.
But I'm only going to start this after Christmas.
Yeah.
But I think anyone is just creating hard and fast rules, isn't it? I think that's, if you can create a hard and fast rule, I get up between these hours, yes or no.
Well, look at the difference we see in people within the space of 5 days, just doing our free challenge, right?
Yeah.
When we give them some primers, some guidelines of, look, this is probably the shit you want to be doing in the morning. This is probably the shit you want to be doing at night.
Yeah.
And within 5 days, like the majority of people are like, wow, I can't believe how better I feel.
What do you think makes the biggest difference in our 5 days though? Because I think, well, what do you think it is?
Our
delivery is great, but that's not the difference. Why do people come in there, hundreds of people, and all of a sudden go, they kind of know most of what we're talking about.
I think most people do.
But all of a sudden they're doing it. I don't know, what's your...
I don't think I'm understanding what you're saying.
Why do you think it works so well?
Well, for the ones who it does work for, those are the people, as I say all the time, look, respect for you because you've come in and you've had to be honest with yourself, right?
Hmm.
You've had to be honest with yourself that something needs to improve, something needs to change. And what do you think, take that step, you go, to be honest with yourself, you have to prove that you was wrong or some shit, which is quite hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You're having to prove yourself, oh shit, I got this wrong, I've made a mistake. You know, all that shit that comes with that. So a lot of the people are open, they're looking for this, right? They're looking for answers, just like me and you said before. What changed my life? I was asking questions I wasn't getting an answer for. And it put me on a quest.
Mm.
These people are doing the same. They know they're searching for something, but they just can't find it. And they come in here and we start answering questions. They're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think because it's the big feedback we get is usually as well because it's relatable.
Massively.
So it's no fluff. It's no
it's
bullshit.
Straight to the point.
It feels real. It feels achievable. Yeah. That kind of stuff comes up, doesn't it?
And then I think the reason why, the reason why people get such a big result in that short space of time is, you know, we get them to recover, man. We get them to invest in their energy.
Mm.
You know, thinking about how much stress people have, they're burnt out, they're torn out. You know what I mean? They've lost purpose, they've lost their way, you know, they've lost that sense of reality. And we start injecting them with a little bit of recovery and they start looking after themselves a bit better. You know, energy goes up and next minute they've got a bit of a spring in the step in the morning and making better decisions. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. In 5 days, people think like, Jesus Christ, the turnaround's real quick.
And also I think it's community.
Big time.
Having somewhere to be. rather than just reading a book on your own, trying to make sense of it, or watching a clip like this, trying to make sense of it, when all of a sudden you're around 100 people and people are like, shit, they're sort of saying the same stuff as me.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one. I think community is, well, not even community, connection.
Yeah.
With a group of people, that human touch.
They realise they're not on their own. They realise they're not going mad. They realise, shit, what? All these people have got the same problem as me. Yeah. Or they can relate to that. It's why the Q&As used to work so well in the 5 day, because people are like, shit, if they can do it, no, it is achievable. And yeah. The other way, give credit to you, mate. What you've done there is, your style that you've taught me and the thing of Unbreakable is there's always the information, there's the education, there's the knowledge that comes with what we deliver, but in the end it's simplified by this is the skill, this is the technique.
This is the step.
Like, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And I think people just, whether they got, every time you do it, 5 day, I can go back, do a 5 day and I'll probably hear some shit that I've not heard, right? Yeah. People hear what they need to hear. And that's the only thing that really matters in per session. You're not supposed to remember it all. All of it's not supposed to make sense. And I think relatability and reminders are very powerful. Everyone's looking for new.
And also, I said this on a previous podcast, but it's like everyone knows what to do, but we don't know what, I don't think people know what to do next.
Mm.
So what do you do next? I know all this stuff. It's like a buffet of stuff. I know I should do all this. It's like, what do you do next? Where do you start? And then when you start, where do you go next? That's a different thing.
Well, that's what makes Unbreakable so unique.
Well, I think that's what the 5 days does in a sense. When we're talking about other stuff now, but it's like, do this. I've done it. Yeah. Now you do this.
Yeah.
I've done that. Now why don't I do this? And I think that's a little bit, we're going back to the Ben Hard. That's why sometimes those approaches are only short term, isn't it?
Mm.
Like 75 hard and that. No one really, it's very rare that people complete 75 hard. That's a challenge, I think. Everyone I know who's done that's fallen off the wagon at some point.
Yeah.
And go, I have to start again. Because I've missed one of the things. Because you know people are busy, and I think you wouldn't adopt that as a lifestyle, would you?
No.
But it's a challenge. Yeah. But I think that's how people approach change coming in the new year. Right, I'm gonna train twice a day. Yeah. And this is my lifestyle. And then it's like, oh, I've missed it. I can't do it. Do you know what I mean? I've fallen off the wagon today. Ah. Oh.
And look, our industry's played with that type of advice and that type of coaching. Let's set some big-ass airy goals in every area of your life. You're going to pluck that shit out the air. Half it doesn't even make sense. It's not meaningful or purposeful. You usually just tag it along. That shit sounds cool. I'm going to get into that. Then you post some big accountability post on fucking the social medias if anyone gives a shit. And you're telling your whole family, I promise you, this is the fucking year. Yeah, you've been saying that for the last 20 years. And although that intention is very well, and, you know, vision is part of the process, you ain't got the skills and the techs and the techniques or the actual steps. That shit ain't happening. It becomes a massive overwhelm. You know, you beat yourself up, but you miss some shit. You ain't got a real structure, strategy or plan.
Well, and that's it, structure, strategy and plan. I would much rather take somebody in January and go, right, we're going to start dead simple, dead easy. Just enough of a challenge, it's not boring, but just start like, this is dead easy. Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. Brilliant. Crack on with that. Keep in touch and you just keep adding them. That's the art of coaching. Just add a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think when we try and do things, I do this, especially when you're in pain in an area, not literally pain, but you're struggling. It's like we want to get somewhere quick.
Mm.
So we think, well, to get there quicker, I must have to do more things. But that's not necessarily true.
No.
Speed can come through doing small things or doing a few things very, very well.
Well, I got this... We inherited a range cooker, when I bought this house. Big-ass cooker, beautiful cooker. Too big for what we need it for, because it's got two-sided ovens, you know, all that. I think it's 8 hobs or some shit. So when we actually got the house, we realised that one side of this cooker isn't working, but we don't need it, so we didn't get it fixed, right?
Yeah, right.
Last Christmas, probably need to get that fixed. Didn't get it fixed, big problem at Christmas. This year, she's like, listen, whole family's coming. I need all my hobs, I need the oven, right?
Yeah.
I'm ringing around trying to find someone that can fix this shit. Find someone, comes in, lovely bloke, give him your book actually. How crazy is that? £80 problem.
80 quid.
Cause a big problem. The moral of the story is most people's big ass issues are a simple problem to solve.
Yeah. At the root.
At the root. The root, not the symptom. Not all my anxiety is ruling my life. Not depression is ruling me. The deep-rooted cause of most people that we know is burnout, right? What's the stat on that side?
We were talking about that actually off camera, but it's about trauma and stuff, how trauma is impossible to process when you're stuck in fight, flight, freeze sort of survival-based stuff, weren't we?
Well, that's the point, right? Though. You're in survival state.
Yeah.
You're not in the wrong state. You're in the survival state in the wrong environment.
Yeah. And a lot of anxiety is actually the symptom of being burnt out energetically.
Yeah.
How often do we get people getting to the root of burnout, you know, increasing their own capacity and then dealing with some of those triggers in their life, building in community to their life.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, I'm not anxious anymore. I haven't got that chronic anxiety.
Mm.
And people get anxious. You might go take on a new thing, experience a bit of anxiety, a bit of nerves. That's natural. You know, it's a bit of energy to perform. But that chronic, I'm anxious about everything, a lot of that can be solved through getting to the root of burnout. Well, 100%. I think it's, I can't remember the exact stat actually. We talk about it all the time. Yeah. And it's effective. Whereas you can, if you're just trying to treat the symptoms all the time, that's when you end up going down the line of, I need to talk about what I'm anxious about all the time. It's
keep
like
revisiting it.
Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, you might do. There's an element that you might want to discuss some things, but getting to the
biology,
bottoms up of it, the biology of yourself
makes
a massive game changer. In fact, again, there's a reason I've changed a lot of my thought process, as you know. We don't really discuss goals or visions in our work until we've got the biology on point. You think about it.
Well,
people don't come in and we go, right, let's set some goals for your life, sort this problem out. I think you need to build capacity before you do anything.
Yeah.
Because you can't think effectively when you're
fucking
burnt out.
Well, how can you be so
creative
in a survival state?
Yeah, you set reactive shit goals.
You got a lion running at you and you're thinking, wow, fucking hell, look at £1 million over there. Look at that beautiful flower. That shit ain't going to kick in. You don't want it to kick in. So you're stuck in this state of chronically inflamed, chronically burnt out, chronically stressed out, and you're trying to create something bigger and greater. It's impossible.
Yeah. And I think there's three cool steps there. Get your capacity on point, get your routines on point, but you can't just stop there. I joke about this all the time, but it's like jumping in the sea every day. Don't solve your money issues, doesn't solve your relationship issues, doesn't solve, I don't know, your past trauma issues. It's literally giving you the capacity to go deal with it. It's like, why am I so stressed? It's like, because you've got all these fucking stressors in your life.
Little tiny ass pipe
that you're not dealing with. If you've got a chronic stressor on you, if Mark had to come in here every day and somebody he absolutely despised was sat in that chair every day looking at him while he was working, he'd be fucking stressed out no matter how many fucking times he meditated.
Yeah.
He'd have to say, excuse me, mate, what are you doing here? Get out, fuck off.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't want you in here.
Deal with the stressor.
It's a stressor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you'd have to try and not hate them.
Yeah.
You know, if they said, well, I have to stay here, I'm glued to the spot, you'd have to be like, right, okay, I've got to find a way to like you or deal with this or accept you.
Yeah.
And that's why build yourself, but don't just stay at building yourself. Change the things that can be changed.
Mm.
Learn to accept the things that can. And so that, and learn to differentiate between the two.
Mm.
That is, I think, energy 101.
Yeah.
It can't all just be meditate more, move more. So I'm just trying to, you know, plaster over this thing in my life I haven't dealt with. And the thing is, what I've noticed about my own life, by the way, because this happens all the time, is even if I can't change it, because it takes a lot of work, you know, it's not just, oh, I've done it. The very act of working on it actually feels way less stressful than looking at it.
Mm, wrestling with it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we all got issues, haven't we? We've all got stresses that pop up in our life.
Big time.
You've got loads, I'm sure, that things that you haven't caused, that life's just lifed you, or I've got the same. Some are my own errors, some are other people, like what? Some of it's life, and you're like, fuck, this is stressful. I'm going to have to deal with this. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, well, I'm hearing you saying if you don't deal with it, it ends up a bigger problem than dealing with it.
Well, it's like two types of stress, isn't there? When we're passively, oh, the situation's on us, and we're not, it's like that catabolic stress. It's almost like it breaks you down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like jumping in your car and going, fuck me, I need to change the headlight. And you just don't. Every time you jump in the car, fucking headlight, it gets a bit stressful, if you know what I mean. I know it's a stupid minor
but
example.
But little things do have a big impact.
They do.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you fix it, obviously that stress dissipates, so to speak. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a similar situation. It's like, the stress it, the effort it takes to solve the problem is stressful.
Yeah.
Not like the headlight, but life. But that kind of stress makes you stronger. Absolutely. It makes you bigger. Yeah. It makes you grow, like lifting a weight.
Yeah.
Passively sat there like, fuck. Not dealing with a problem.
Yeah.
It's stressful, but you get weaker for it.
No, and I think that's well, where we've got to
you, tackle yeah. our problems. But you've got to have the one too, haven't you? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, I've been the person who's like, I'm going to fucking solve my problems and just never had the capacity to do it. I've also been the person who's like, oh, I don't need to solve my problems because I meditate every day. They're just how they are and that's life. Yeah. And really a bit of denial, like, no, I fucking need to change these problems. Like, you've got to do both. Work here, work there.
Mm. But the way you perform out there comes down to the way you deal and prioritise yourself, right? Energy 101.
Yeah.
Remember my boy Chewy?
Yeah.
Remember him like, fucking hell, man. Every morning I get up, I can't find my fucking socks and they're in different... and he fixed a sock issue and he was like, my mornings feel so much better.
Well, I think one of the things as well is, I think sometimes life hands things to you where for a while you don't prioritise yourself. And that's okay. I've come to realise that. You can't do it for a long time. But I look at I would look at myself as very skilled in thinking and feeling, and because I should be, it's my job and I've dedicated a whole lot of time to it. It's easy for me, isn't it? I think as a coach, it's fucking easy. You're like, yeah, I've built my life around looking after myself. I even talk about looking after yourself. I tell other people I need to look after themselves. So by nature, I look after myself pretty well. If I go back to when I was 20...
That's not like all coaches, mate.
Well, you know what I mean?
Obese personal trainer, like, what?
But it's easier for me to look after myself than it is fucking Sandra busting her ass on split shifts.
Yeah, but let's not forget where all this shit started. We had to go through the same rounds.
Of course. What I'm saying is it's much easier. I have a life built in such a way now that it makes it easy for me to prioritise the things that are helpful. So when people are saying, like, on my feed about all their goals they achieve, and I'm like, well, that's your job to achieve goals. That's your model of coaching. You are a motivational figure. You're like, well, I've got up, I've done this, I've done that. But if you actually had a job which was encounter to this, and you had to go fucking pull a shift and drive a lorry for 14 hours today and then stay overnight in your cab, would you find it so easy to go and do the things you do? And I don't think people would.
No, not at all.
Because it's challenging.
We see challenges, don't we, in the breakable.
Yeah, we're working with people. Real people who haven't got a life built around, well, what's your job? My job is to achieve goals and tell people about it. What's your job? Fucking driving up and down the country, dealing with wankers, unloading me lorry, fucking on the side of the road, grabbing some food. Oh, God, when I get home, I've got three kids and, you know, I've got to do that. It's like, okay. I'm not saying like, oh, boo-hoo them. So it's just not as easy. I look at January when I had that stuff going on with my little girl and whatnot, and I was finding it hard to keep hitting my points, you know, our stuff. You know, you were in hospital, then you got a little boy, and you think, right, I'll get him into bed now and look after him and sort him out. Yeah. And I was doing like the bare minimum. And I had I'd banked loads of work.
Yeah. That's the point on that, right?
So I could get away with like, fuck, I'm not
doing
so much.
It's like having savings, isn't it? And you know, shit, I need to use them now.
And I think sometimes we have to draw down and we have to go, fuck, like, there is a situation at this point where I have to prioritise this over me a little bit. But you can't do that forever. And I think that's a lot of the time what happens to people. From my experience, I'm reading a lot of forms that people come through our stuff and it's like, shit, something happened, didn't it? And you drew down so much on your resources and you didn't know about topping up and looking after yourself. And you've drawn down so much on your mental, emotional, physical well-being that you're now in a hole. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're trying to claw themselves back out. So I think for sometimes when life kicks off, and you've got it going on at the minute, right? There's going to be an element where you have to draw down a little bit and then you kind of realise and adjust and come back. But I think for a lot of us, you know, people we encounter, they probably know they should be looking after themselves, you know, but it's like this issue that's happened, which is completely, and they've drawn down and they're struggling to get back out. And it's almost a rebuilding process, isn't it?
Mm.
But I don't think it's easy. I think our industry has got really out of touch. I realise I'm waffling on here.
Bang on.
with real people, day-to-day people, and they're caught up in, well, look, you know, they forget that they've built a life, for the most part, if they're any good and successful at it, where their life is built around looking after themselves. But if it wasn't your job, when I was worked at the gym, it was my job to be fit. And guess what? I was fit than I am now. Because every day I was around being fit and I was training people to be fit. It was easy. It would have been harder not to be in shape. But now that's not my life. I find it harder. And I think real people, I would struggle to relate to some of the people I see now.
Oh, that's why, going back to the 5 day, I think people relate to us massively. We get it. And you've got to have that awareness and understanding. But at the same time, even with the demanding roles, it is even more of a challenge to look after yourself, but probably even more rewarding.
Yeah. And also, I think another thing, but another thing, we you know, I've been not called out for this before, but people are like, I'm almost giving people the easy way out and, you know, lowering standards for people. But I just think people have got the being hard on themselves down to a T. Do you know what I mean? And I just think, actually, what's wrong with making it easier?
Or simpler.
Yeah, or what's wrong with saying, you're going to fuck up, don't worry about it, let's go again.
Like the cube,
why do I have to call them out like they're at fucking school?
I know.
You know, like punish them because they ballsed up, or call them out, or make them, like, you know, publicly accountable to their mistakes. It's like, fucking hell, mate.
Oh, mate, that's the other extreme. If you've got some tool that's calling you out.
A tool.
You know, because you've simplified something for...
Well, it can look like unambitious.
Yeah, no, but that's what this is where we're at in the world. That because it's simple and easy, it mustn't be effective.
Yeah, but you see general population come in, don't they? And they're like,
But it's like
I need to be doing everything. Can I? Like look what they're doing, and I need to be doing all that. And it's like, nah, you don't.
But it plays out all the way through it. This is, you know, when it was personal training, you'd get some woman coming in going, or some fella go, right, I want to look like that. And I'm like, yeah, I can get you to look like that, but here's some of the consequences and sacrifice you're going to have for making. Like, fuck, I don't want that. I'm like, well, why do you want that? Well, she looks happy, or, well, she looks like she's got a shit in her, and maybe I'll feel better, I have more self-esteem. I'm like, well, I know people in this type of shape that feel like shit, ain't got no self-esteem, vain as fuck, and worry about what everyone people think. Don't think you getting in better physical condition is going to make you feel better. And the same way it would be now that, you know, we need to publicly... And we know this. We've been in coaching programs where guys have been called out because they haven't done what they said they're going to do, think they can shame people into making progress. And then, you know, you look at a more sinister issue and it's like, I'm going to shame my kids and shame people to get what I need out of them or to get them to do, you know, better things. And I have to check myself in all the time with this, with my own kids. But, you know, if you think that simplifying stuff and making it easier is giving people an easy route, you've got it all mixed up. If you're going to, like, think you can shame people into making changes, then that's obviously the polar opposite extreme, isn't it?
Yeah.
And going back to our man that we met at the mastermind, the fella that ran 6 marathons, do you remember him saying that you're in the middle of the desert and you might only have a marshal that's 45 kilometres away? And I thought, you know, if they had a marshal every 30 foot in the middle of the desert, I don't think anyone would make it. Because they'd probably take that route and go, fuck, this is my easy route out. So that making it easy and simpler doesn't make it an easy route out. No. It makes it more achievable.
Yeah, which makes...
Yeah, and all those little things, the small part of it, a big problem. Like, you think you're racking up that. And the 5 days is a great example of this. Simple, effective. Routines probably outside your comfort zone a little bit, but the shift and the progress within that space of time, rather than, listen, if you don't do it at the end of this and the 400 people that didn't turn up, we're going to call them out for wasting my fucking time, that ain't going to do nothing. That's going to do the complete opposite.
No, it is. You're bang on. You know what? We're going to wrap it up then.
You like that?
I like it, yeah. I like how you ended.
That's a good one.
You even got your hand out.
Yeah.
I know you like when you get your hand out.
Yeah. Conducting my shit.
I know you're like, I'm in the zone. I'm fucking telling you now, mate.
What do you call that, dude?
You're a conductor.
Conductor, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting the cogs turning.
I feel like I should go to you.
Yeah. Like a rapper, but
anyway,
podcast style.
Welcome to the 5 minute ending where we just talk shit for a few minutes before we finish. That's what I'm saying. Right, folks. Catch you next time.